Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't shut, you talk, see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. I don't think it's evening, unless you're listening to the podcast, in which case it could be 3 a.m. I could be sleeping and you could be listening to me spouting off on the radio. This is show number 92 for those who are counting. And by the way, when we hit 100 shows, we're going to have a party. I just want you to know, Doug, the producer, did you know that I'm going to have a party at 100 shows?
That sounds like a party I got to be at.
You know what? You probably will be. Everyone, this is my illustrious producer, Doug Newsom, one of the twin team members of BBS Radio. Works and works. I never saw such a work ethic. But I wanted to talk to him about so incredibly important, so incredibly significant, which is, have you seen the new cars today, Doug?
I've seen a few of the new cars, but I'm always one of those guys who goes to the used car lot and figures I'm going to get a better deal.
Well, and I always have. I am years old, and I've never owned a new car until now. I got a new car because I figured, you know, I drive my cars for 13 years easy. So I might as well go ahead and get a new car because it doesn't matter. You know, they always say it loses value when you drive it off the lot. Right. Well, you know, it loses value when you keep it for 13 years. So you might as well get the best thing. So believe it or not, because I fell in love with this color, I got a Toyota Corolla, just a real simple, but a car that'll run forever. And I found the color I wanted in Fort Worth, Texas. So a couple of weeks ago, I flew down and came back, drove it back up here to Northern Colorado, and the drive was fascinating. I have never, and it's a 5-speed, by the way, manual transmission, and that is because it's an automatic theft detector. You know, it's anti-theft device because nobody can drive 5-speed transmissions anymore. But it'll do everything but cut your meat for you, Doug. I mean, I'm driving for 2 hours. It's like a 12-hour drive. And it says, wouldn't you like to take a break with a little cup of coffee on the dashboard?
Really?
Have you seen it? Yes. Yes. It does everything for you. I want to know if brand new cars are a communist plot to make us all dependent and not self-sufficient. That's what I want to know. Well, because, you know, it even has a light when there's somebody that passes you in your blind spot.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one of my favorite features. I don't mind that.
You can see now the person passing you in your blind spot.
Yeah. Well, no, it just says there is one.
Oh, really?
So, don't change lanes. The little light in your rearview mirror, right or left. Anyway,
that's a great idea.
I think this car is the precursor to the car that drives itself, which scares the life out of me.
That's Buy an American. No.
I got to say, the only cars that I think are good, this is blasphemous, but hey, I'm exercising my right to free expression, are trucks. I think Americans make terrific pickups.
Right.
But as far as compact cars, cars that'll run forever, cars you can get 400,000 miles on, I don't think so.
They don't. No, everybody goes foreign, even I.
Yeah, yeah. Toyotas and Hondas, all I've ever driven.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought you'd like to know that it's quite possible that cars today are a communist plot so that we no longer are responsible for our own driving. We blame it on the car.
Who was that that said that first? Biden or Warren? No.
I AOC? Don't know. You couldn't tell me that I'm saying something that Biden and Pelosi said?
They probably said it somewhere. You could just put it out there. They probably said it.
Doug, that's an insult. I am truly offended that you would. The nice thing is the Constitution doesn't guarantee your right to be offended, not to be offended. So what? I'm offended, you know. Anyway, we're going to get started. I just wanted to see if you thought that brand new cars were a communist plot. And
you got to take a picture and send it to us so we can see you standing by your new car, all excited.
It's good. It's called Blue Flame. It is so bright.
Ooh, blue.
It's really gorgeous. We're not talking navy blue. We're talking like blue. I am a fan. We were talking off air before the show started about Texas, and we both are a fan of Texas. And it just so happens I went to Fort Worth. I almost moved to Dallas at one time many years ago. But, you know, those costumes, and they are costumes that the cowboys wear, those are a little bit weird.
Outdated. Yeah, they got to stop that trend.
It's like cowboy blue. Spandex. I'm sorry. I don't think so.
Right.
But anyway, I thought I would indulge myself in talking to my producer this morning because, well, you know, it's the holidays. And last week I had my cousin on, the attorney. So this week I figured I would talk to my producer. So now you can go back to sleep.
I'm so grateful. Thank you. Hi, everybody. You're listening to our best shows in the network. We love Karen.
Oh, that's very sweet of you to say. Well, I love BBS Radio.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about something substantive now, or at least I'm going to try. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jog. You know, when I want to do show prep and I want to talk about something maybe someone else hasn't talked about, all I really do, or at least find out what's new, I have had a very active Facebook page lately. I used to get really irritated at Facebook, you know, and Twitter and all that because it just was so petty and silly. But the truth of the matter is that I always like to do Facebook by posting something and usually, you know, throwing in a comment, some sort of editorial comment. And I'm looking just recently, and one of the things that I've been utterly enchanted by is this notion, and it seems to be true, God willing, it should be true. Two new polls show massive surge in black voter support for President Trump in 2020. Now, this is a tsunami to Democrats. They don't know what they're going to do about it, because if blacks finally get off the government plantation, which is what it is. And I really aggravated somebody on Twitter when I said that. He thought that that was a horrendous statement. I said pretty much that. And I said, guess what? You're allowed not to like what I say. You don't get to shut me down, but you're allowed not to like it. We have an attack and an assault on our First Amendment rights writ large these days, and that's one of the reasons I'm so blessed, happy, and thrilled at this point in my life to be doing talk radio, writing, and all the stuff that I do, which is all about exercising my First Amendment rights and hopefully inviting you to do the same, even if you disagree. So Blacks for Trump, I love this thing. It's so cool. So I posted it because I've always been fascinated by groups that go against the grain. People who, when you're expected to vote Democrat because you're black or, in my case, Jewish, and you don't, and you think for yourself, not because you want to join conservatives, but because you thought for yourself, you continue to decide and question what you stand for and realize that, guess what? In my case, I ain't a liberal. And I really never was. So you can't even call me a neoconservative because I was never really liberal. I kind of had a lot of libertarian leanings, and I have a few left, less than I used to. But as far as being a liberal, I really wasn't. I flirted with it for literally an inhalation and an exhalation. And I said, no, not going to work for me. So anyway, I posted this, and I'm looking at this. It's neato dito. Watch for the Democrats to pull out all the stops to keep black voters on the government plantation. They've already tried to bribe them with reparations, and it still isn't working. What do you think will be next? If you want to join me in this first half hour, you can join me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And we will take your calls. My goal is to get more people calling. Now, this is not a listener-driven show. One of the reasons I love terrestrial talk radio, in fact, I love all talk radio, I love doing Spouting Off, is because it's real-time interaction with real live listeners. And that's why I continue to do this show live, even though I could tape it. Once in a blue, I tape it. Once in a blue, we have a repeat show. If I have to run to Texas to pick up a car, which is actually what happened 2 weeks ago. That's why I had a repeat show 2-3 weeks ago. The poor car is sitting under a blanket of snow because I haven't had a heart to brush off the snow. I was afraid I might get the paint scratched. Since I don't have a place to garage it, I have to like let it melt off. That's another story entirely. But if you'd like to join the conversation and talk about blacks voting and approving of Donald Trump, 34% to 36%, I think if the left hasn't gone crazy already, and I think they have, they're going to try something hysterical because they can't abide. They can't win with Trump taking over 36%. Give or take, and it could be more by next year, the black vote. And nothing could be better for them and their families, for that community, and frankly, the Jewish community, to recognize that the left does nothing more than to make mascots of these groups, turn them into voting blocks, turn them into victims. And who do you think are going to be the first people that are going to be, screwed? Sorry, I usually don't talk that way, but it's not a word that's on the list you're not supposed to say on regular AM talk radio, which we try to have those same standards here. And so, yeah, they're going to be the first people, just like useful idiots. But the blacks, I cheer. I'm thrilled that blacks are finally realizing it. And it was this is one of the reasons I was so excited about Donald Trump, because I thought he was somebody who could break through those barriers. I mean, he broke through Wisconsin and the steel belt, if you will. He broke through areas no Republican ever even dreamed was going to be able to, but he did it. Why? Because he ain't your Republican. He actually is conservative, but he says what he means and means what he says. Now, as far as the blacks finally getting a clue, there was one other point I wanted to make. I got a couple minutes before our first break, and that is this. We conservatives, and I'm registered as an independent because I'm a talk show host, you know, or so I think so in my own mind. I am, please. We do a lousy, rotten job of explaining to people that we are the group, because it isn't just party, it's we are the ideology that is generous, altruistic, and cares about other people. The left has feigned that for years, but they don't care at all because they just consider all these groups to be collateral damage. They just consider that as long as they can garner power, they don't really care. In fact, what was one of the obvious things that you could show about, for example, our previous president? One of the first things he did was to roll back and get rid of Bill Clinton's welfare to work program, because it made people too self-sufficient. It made people too independent of government. He did it quietly while nobody was looking, and Clinton himself was roped into it. I'm not going to go through all of that, but he was roped into that, and it was actually one of the things he took so much credit for. So Republicans, truly, and ideological conservatives, people who actually walk the walk and talk the talk, are not selfish because they're not trying to garner all the power for themselves by way of making other people dependent on them, on government, on bureaucracy. Anybody who wants to make people more dependent, trust me, I'm a social worker. when before social workers went completely mad, actually they were always leftist, we were always taught to help a person be as independent as they are capable of being. That is an altruistic thing to do. That is caring about your fellow man. All we want to do, conservatives, people with a conservative outlook on life, we want to be in control of ourselves, be hold ourselves accountable to God, not to government, and have the government off our backs. Limited government is the byword for people who want to live self-sufficiently and to live as they see fit. There was a time when the left agreed with that, but no longer. There was a time when Democrats agreed with that, but then the leftists took over the party, and now they're all in disarray because what they're really after is authoritarianism. And all of their protestations that Donald Trump is the authoritarian, nonsense, nonsense, poppycock. Okay, I'm done spouting off in this first section, in this first segment. We got to take a break. Karen Cataline, broadcasting to you from BBS Radio, Station 1, and all over the internet, soon to become a podcast for your pleasure. Karen Cataline, this is Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Thanks for staying with us here on Spouting Off. I got a wonderful guest that we're going to have at the bottom of the hour. I just want you to know a little bit about who he is. I get to talk to talk show hosts all around the country because I get to be a guest. And so they actually, you know, put me on the radio in various markets around the country. I just love it. So much fun. And occasionally I will have an extra special chemistry. I try to have chemistry with all the hosts because I kind of can tell their style, and I like to change my style a little bit in order to communicate with them. It's what a good communicator ought to do. I don't change who I am as a person, but if they talk really slow, then I try to slow down a little bit. I have excellent chemistry with this guest that we're going to have at the end of the at the bottom of the hour. His name is Steve Noxon, and he hosts a terrestrial radio show called Talk of the Town. He's on me, had me on, yeah, Let's just try that again. Blah, blah, blah. He has had me on numerous times on his show. It's out of Waterbury, Connecticut, WATR. And I will tell you more about him. But he does 1320 AM. And I love the way he thinks. He's got a wonderful radio voice. And he's just fun to talk to. And we love to banter back and forth. And so you'll get to meet him here on Spouting Off, in which Turnabout is fair play. And I get to be a host and let him spout off and talk about what he would like. I'll give him a couple of softball questions, and then you'll get to see what he's all about. He's got great insights and just plain fun to listen to. Getting back to my silly old Facebook page. And by the way, if you'd like to join me on my Facebook page, you can do it either on personal or professional. To me, Facebook is public. So the only thing I do is if you try to friend me on my personal page, I'll just ask you, how do you know me? If you know me through talk radio or politics, I will accept. Sometimes I get Facebook invitations from Tahiti, and they're trying to sell me hair gel. And in that case, I usually say no. So that being said, another Facebook post that I had just, what was it, just yesterday. And it was fascinating to me, the reaction. Believe it or not, I'm still not a master of these social media things, especially Twitter, but I won't get off on that tangent. So I saw this article, another fabulous, great, good news, not only for America, but for Donald Trump. And here is the title from fast becoming my favorite newspaper all over the country, the Epoch Times. E-P-O-C-H, Epoch Times. If you're listening to this live, they're running a special right now. Just talk to them. You can get the digital edition for something like $4.95 a month. Believe me, it's worth every penny. So the title is, U.S. has first full month of as a net oil exporter for the very first time in 70 years. Now, believe me, that is another game changer. That's huge, huge, I tell you. And what I did was I posted that on my Facebook page. I usually try to do it on the professional page too, in which I said, remember when this was one of the most repeated campaign promises of both parties? And I'm just going to get off script here because that's what talk radio is all about. Remember when people, Republican and Democrat, both said, well, we're going to, I promise you, if you elect me, I'm going to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. I pledge us more energy independence. And they would say it would be in 10 years or 40 years or 30 years. Donald Trump didn't even make that promise. And he has made us energy independent, a net oil exporter, in 3 years. That's astounding. Now, there's a reason Democrats wouldn't ever tout that. Dirty little secret. Democrats and establishment Republicans don't really want us to be energy independent. And that's what I wrote today. I reposted the same thing. And it got so much attention. I mean, people were reposting it all over the place, not because I posted it, but because it's enormous. Now, for a Jewish city kid to be talking about oil and energy, it's not exactly my natural wheelhouse, but I certainly care about American prosperity. And it occurred to me after it got so much attention, and of course, everybody, Colorado listeners, know how anti-energy independent a governor we have currently. It occurred to me that here we are sitting on a net oil, we're a net oil exporter because of things like fracking, which they've been doing for, you know, decades. It's not something new. They've been doing it for decades. And what does the left do? They are doing everything in their human power to stop American energy independence. And they've got all kinds of faux answers for it. Oh, it's global warming, which we know is nonsensical, but we rarely talk about the motives for global warming. And it is to keep us dependent. I mean, after all, let's just say you were a global socialist. Not saying anybody really is. But if you were a global socialist, you certainly wouldn't want the United States of America to be energy independent and to produce its own energy and, in fact, to export it to the rest of the world. So you would think that producing your own energy was tantamount to, God forbid, rape or something, because that's how they treat it. This demonization, I ask again and again, what's their motive? Why? Why are they doing this? And one has to conclude that the very prosperity of America threatens the left. That's what I'm saying here. All right. And I actually said it on my next guest's program, which is he does a wonderful show. Let me get my stuff. And he's on the line. We're only going to be able to say hello to him. Then we're going to have to take a break and then we'll really dive in. Steve Noxon, he is the host of Talk of the Town, WATR Waterbury, Connecticut. And this is a daily AM talk radio show in Connecticut, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WATR. That's 1320 a.m. And he has a lifetime of real world experience in the business world, from running his own business to working for large national corporations, and has been a keen observer of the media for many decades. That's one of the things I think we're going to talk about. Welcome to Spouting Off, Steve Noxon.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Karen.
That's great. I get such a kick out of Turnabout is Fair Play, because you've had me on your show so many times. And by the way, I thank you. Not only do I enjoy it, but I have a special love of talking to you, because the minute I talked to you, I said, this is a guy after my own heart. I love the way he thinks, you know. And so, in fact, I was on your show yesterday.
Yes,
and
you
were.
We were
talking. Yes. And so that was a little bit of something here. You said that you haven't talked much about impeachment, which, you know, everybody and their brother's talking about. But I'll bet you have a very specific kind of take on it. And guess what I'm going to do? What all talk show hosts do, if they're good or if they're smart, they take a break before they invite their guests to give a long or drawn out speech. We can have a dialogue, though. Okay. So okay. Steve Noxon with us on Spouting Off. And when we come back from this break, we'll hear what he thinks, not only about impeachment, but a whole bunch of other stuff right after this.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Was just a quick break because we have to pay and feature our sponsors. So thank you to Anita McAllister. I'm jazzed to have Steve Noxon from Talk of the Town, 1320 AM WATR in Waterbury, Connecticut. And he and I get to talk often, and that's always a lot of fun. And he was willing to come on Spouting Off. And what was he going to do? He's going to spout off. So tell me what you think about what we're going to see tomorrow in this ongoing soap opera saga here.
Oh, well, I think we're going to see, like any soap opera that has run now for, 40, 45 years, the same thing over and over and over. Just new storylines, but the same old trash. And I'm just, it's a clown show as far as I'm concerned. And I think if you look at the polls, most people feel very much the same way. This is all a joke. It's all it's a national embarrassment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I find that because conservatives tend to be, this is a generalization, but I'm sorry, it's true. We are try to be fair-minded. A lot of people say, well, if they're doing it, at least I feel obligated to watch it, to listen, to hear the evidence. But as I mentioned in my last piece, which just came out, I guess, yesterday, once you know that these folks are the same players who keep throwing new stuff up against the wall, what are you going to do? You're going to dignify a lie by considering the evidence when it's all hearsay. So I think we ought to start a new movement, you and I, to tell people that it is okay not to watch. Okay?
Well, I think...
Yeah.
Obviously, you look at the ratings. I think people have already learned that lesson. I mean, the ratings for this entire debacle were horrendous. I mean, I heard people complaining that they were canceling the Ellen show for these impeachment inquiries, and it's like, well, that's a horrible, horrible thing there. But we've got to be with Ellen. But no, I think if you think back to just the day after the election and then the day of the inauguration and then what has happened time and time and time again since the hearings for Brett Kavanaugh, it's just been one ridiculous joke after another. I mean, the term credibly accused has been thrown around by so many people who just literally have no idea what it means, to the point where it's meaningless. And if you look at, like, the New York Times, the Washington Post, you look at how the media is reporting on this, they've all got their talking points. They're all on the same page every day, and it's all just attack, 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 attack. And I think the American people, I think most American people, whether you're Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, I have people that come on my show here in Waterbury all the time who are Democrats, but they're not these lunatic, far-left, off-the-charts, rabid, frothing at the mouth Democrats. They're actual intelligent people. And we have wonderful conversations about this. And I have even Democrats that are telling me this is an embarrassment. This is they're absolutely embarrassed for their party.
Yeah, that is fascinating. You and I we're both familiar with the walkaway movement and Brandon Straka. And this is the way you get new Republican voters. Can you say a little more about what it is they say, actual Democrats who come on your show and say this is an embarrassment? What is it specifically that's embarrassing them and maybe getting them, hopefully, to think twice about whether a lot of other stuff they were told about Donald Trump wasn't true either?
Well, some of them, it hasn't changed their mind. They're still probably not going to support Donald Trump, but they're questioning their support of whoever is out there, mouthing all of this silliness that has been going on for so long. But there's one guy in particular that calls my show who's a lifelong Democrat who has told me that there is no way, no how, he will ever vote for a Democrat again as long as they continue down this path. And it's, again, not just the impeachment hearing. It's how they treated Brett Kavanaugh. It's this idea that they can come out with just anything, no substantiation required whatsoever, no evidence to support their assertions or their accusations, and they can just simply spout just the most vile, insulting insults to anyone and walk away unscathed, that has just turned him off entirely. And he's disgusted, not by the system at this point, which I think is a good thing. He's disgusted by the behavior of the National Democrats. And even some of, even our own two senators here in the state of Connecticut, the esteemed Chris Murphy and the even more esteemed Captain Toys for Tots, or as I like to call him, Senator Blumenthal.
Blumenthal. Oh, no.
Blumenthal, yeah. Yes. Mr. Stolen Valor himself. I mean, the two of those people are just absolute waste of space. And yet somehow they're treated like they're some sort of, brilliant orators in this time of horrible tragedy. And again, this one person that I'm talking of has told me numerous times he didn't vote for Trump the last time, although he didn't like the option that he was given, but he is chopping at the bit to get to the polls to vote for him this time.
See, and I would venture to say that there's a lot of people like that caller who that's one of the reasons we're not cult members, because Donald Trump had to earn that support and trust. Trust is the wrong word. You don't have to trust your politician. I mean, you do, but he earned it from people who were incredibly skeptical. And many of the voters were willing to give him a try, like a lot of blacks. He said, what the hell do you have to lose? When they weren't sure what to think of Donald Trump. They just knew they couldn't vote for Hillary. So now Trump is a tested commodity now. And I think that the Democrats have a long time ago lost their minds. You know,
that's pretty mildly.
Yes, I wish we could bottle that though. I'm forever fascinated. Again, I'd love for you to sort of draw off of your extensive experience as a talk show host to talk about how often you get people who go off the Democrat reservation, and what is it? I just love it. I love asking this question. What is it that makes people switch? I have my own ideas, but not just the hysteria and the preposterousness of the left to how they're acting now, which a lot of it is to save their own skin. But what is it that turns people? What have you found that's the most effective?
Well, I try to talk a lot about, you know, the proposals and the ideas and the policies, like this Medicare for All plan and how the numbers don't add up. And I've had a few people that used to call and try to, you know, push back on that. And I just lay out the facts. I just look, you know, one person used to call my show and he's actually stopped. I think he may not be ready to switch to being a Trump voter yet, but I think he's learned that, you know, he can't come on and just throw these unsubstantiated facts and figures out. He's got to have his numbers. And like, for example, he wanted to, when I brought up, you know, well, how are we going to pay for Medicare for All? He goes, well, we'll just cut the military budget a little bit. And I asked him, I said, well, okay, how much do we spend annually for our military? And he was like, I don't know why. What does that have to do? I said, well, you're the one that's saying you have to cut it. What is it to begin with? And he was like stumped. I said, I'm not trying to trick you here. I'm just asking you if you know the numbers. And it's only about $800 billion. I mean, I'm only, but it's $800 billion annually that we spend.
And in government dollars, that's not very much.
Right. Exactly. Right. It's less than a quarter of what we spend, but that's our entire military. And he goes, does that include rockets? I said, are rockets military expenditures? Yes, of course they are. But right. Then I said, now, how much do you think these Medicare for All plans are? And I said, the best estimates are anywhere from, like, the low end, $3.2 trillion a year. Yeah. I said, now, how much do you think we need to cut of that $800 billion to cover the $3.2
trillion?
And
that
it was like, it's like crickets, you know? It's like, they promised me there'd be no math. Click, you know?
Well, Steve, you know, what you did is give a perfect example of one of my theories about what it is we could bottle. I don't know how to, you know, start the ball rolling. I mean, you can lead a horse to water, as they say. But it's to get people to ask that very first question. The doubt, to doubt what they're being told. It's the same way that people get out of real cults, by daring to question what they're being told by authority figures. There was once a time when liberals said that was a good idea, but not anymore, not when they're the man, not when they're the establishment.
No,
they don't
exactly.
Want anybody questioning anymore. So I think that is fascinating, really. We're going to have to take another break. When we come back, I would love to talk with you about one of your favorite subjects, which is the media. And how has the media contributed in this place we find ourselves, which is people that have a completely different view of Donald Trump than I think he really is. Now, have I met him? No. But they're creating an entirely different narrative, an entirely different, you know, out of reality. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Can you stay with us?
Sure can.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Noxon from WATR Waterbury, Connecticut, Talk of the Town host. You're going to want to listen to his program. You can do so on live stream, and we'll talk about that. Also, before we let Steve go, on Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. Stay tuned. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Oh, how I love politics and talk radio and culture and all those great things. Just when you think you know what you're going to talk about, something comes in the news. When we were off air, we heard live because Steve told us that Kamala Harris just dropped out of the presidential race. Steve, let's get your take on it right away.
I'm stunned that this woman who, like, of just a few short months ago, was going to run away with this. She was the next great whatever hope.
Yeah.
And she was just going to take this and the only question was who was going to be her vice presidential candidate and running mate. And now she's dropped down to a point where she's at 2%. Her people are leaving her. They're leaving behind little notes about how wonderful it was working for her. And now,
I think you're being facetious there, Steve, right? They hated it working for her. Just so people who may not have seen that. She was a tyrant of sorts, which she probably would have been to all of us. Thank God.
Oh,
another bullet dodged.
Absolutely clear with some of the proposals. I mean, just last week was, you know, if they don't lower drug prices, I'm going to take all the patents away from the drug companies and will make them property of the U.S. government. And every time I hear one of these candidates say something like that, I think to myself, A, who do you think you're running for? What role do you think you're actually running for? Because the president doesn't have that kind of power. But B, I'm not the smartest person in the world. Why am I the only person, and why is no one in the mainstream media asking these people these questions?
I wish someone would ask him, who do you think you are? You know, everybody, it's amazing. Nobody ever taught these Democrats that just because you think something doesn't mean everybody else has to think it too. I mean, it's
right.
What you kind of teach your 6-year-old, isn't it? The thing that I could not stand about Kamala Harris, and I think a lot of people were finding out she just isn't likable, is that whiny, holier-than-thou smugness, which some Democrats, some politicians are better at hiding than she was. They all got it. Most all of them do. But Kamala Harris just didn't seem to be able to hide that. I'm wondering, because I'm always a suspicious type, whether or not, I think with these latest numbers on the black vote, I think they're going to have to pull out all the stops and do something to at least try to stem the tide of the black vote by getting someone on the ticket, either in the top of the ticket or as a vice president. I think they're going to consider that to be an absolute must. What do you think?
I'd hate to think that that would work, but I think you're right. I think, look, the Democrats have shown for the last decade or more that it's all about identity politics.
Exactly.
That's it. There's nothing else that they bring to the table. And, I mean, you want to talk about whiny, screechy, don't want to listen to this voice for an extended period of time. If that were the case, Elizabeth Warren would have been dead a long time ago as far as
and Bernie Sanders, who's angry all the time. he's like the get off my lawn guy, you know.
It goes back to the no malarkey Joe Biden tour, you know. For how many years have we been told that the Democrats are the party of the young? And who's the leading candidates of their party? You know, Mr. 23 Skidoo's got the bee's knees on his horseless carriage bus with the sign of no malarkey on the side, you know, and his little hotsy-totsy wife on the sidelines there. It's, you know, come on, dude, you really think you're going to attract the young vote with a no malarkey campaign slogan?
Steve, tell me honestly, do you think... What do you think's going on with the biting of his wife's finger? Do you think he's so oblivious that he doesn't know he's in public? Is he that far gone? Or, come on, give us the inside scoop.
I'd love to join in on this bash Joe Biden thing, but come on, it was a cute little moment. She almost smacked him in the face a couple of times, and he just reached out. I'm more concerned about him up on the campaign platform talking about how young kids love stroking the soft blonde hair on his legs.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. But that was from 2017. Did you know that?
It doesn't matter who thinks that's a good story to tell, no matter what's going on.
Our twin producer, you know, for those of you who don't know, the brains and the brawn and every other thing behind BBS Radio is Doug Newsom and Don Newsom, identical twins. And they just did the tag team on me, and now Don is on there. And so, Don, tell them what you told me on my instant message. Go ahead, Don. You can do it. Are you
there?
Well,
maybe Joe Biden is just trying to stay relevant. I mean, if I were losing the news and losing the audience, I would be biting the first girl's finger I could find. Why not? I mean, it'll... you got to stay relevant somehow. That's the only way, you know, Bent Biden can do it, I think.
What do they say? No press, no media.
Right, and it's the only way you can get press nowadays. The same with the media networks, the Democrats, the whole lot of them. I mean, if they're not pulling off antics, lies, and debauchery, well, then they don't get anywhere. They're in
the
news.
Except if you're, but you see, they get applauded with the debauchery if it's one of theirs. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this is the thing that amazes me, out of absolutely nowhere, a leftist who has trashed our culture, who thinks anything goes, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you name it, and all of a sudden they're a Puritan when it comes to Donald Trump. What's that about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. End of show. Hypocrisy. We're done. No, I'm kidding.
If the Democrats didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all.
Oh, it's so well put.
You know, I mean,
I wish I'd said that.
That's why I think so many people who are not on Twitter every day, so many people who are not wrapped up in social media. And look, Karen, I know you and I both are involved in this world very deeply, and it almost seems overwhelming at times, and it's almost amazing how we're not inundated with it, or everybody else is not inundated with it like we are. But then every once in a while, you take a break from it. You put the phone down. You go, like this past weekend, we had a holiday with Thanksgiving, and you go visit family, and you realize they're not as wrapped up in this stuff as everyone else. And they're looking at this, and they're shaking their heads going, what happened? Where are we today? This is getting crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what's the guy, Rip Van Winkle? I fell asleep for a nap, and when I woke up, a person could suddenly choose their own gender. When did that happen?
From a list of 57, by the way.
Like, I don't know what happened, dear. And what's amazing is the number of people who fall for that and never question it. And they never say, well, let's see, is that really possible? The other thing, and this is kind of what Steve and I do on his show, too. We kind of flip from subject to subject, which I love doing, is that I think I forgot what I was going to say since I distracted myself. It is amazing to me the way that transgenderism, which I was reading, by the way, is being funded big time writ large by George Soros, this constant growing transgenderism. If you ever thought that it was possible to grow the numbers of transgenders in America in a short amount of time, voila, they're doing it. How are they doing it? By demonizing masculinity. Well, what do you think? Am I off base here, Steve?
I think it's more a fact that it's this ongoing attempt to shock the normies. You know what I mean? It's not about trying to change the culture. It's about just trying to be as outrageous as you possibly can be. And it's this game of one-upsmanship to see who can shock the normies the best. And this is not a new phenomenon. I'll give you a story from a while back. I had a friend of mine who was in my wedding party, lifelong friend of mine. Here in Connecticut, he moved to Florida. When he was down in Florida, he came out of the closet, still remained friends with him. I didn't care whatsoever, and I still don't to this day. But we would talk on the phone, and my wife would laugh. She would say, it's like you two are like little teenage girls, because we would talk on the phone for hours at a time.
Uh-huh.
And he started telling me about what he and his boyfriend had done that weekend, last week, what they did a while back. And it wasn't just, my boyfriend and I did this, my boyfriend and I did that. It was my black boyfriend and I did this, my black boyfriend and I did that. And I was listening to this, like, that's a really weird thing, you know? It's because I don't say that my white wife and I did something. I just say my wife and I, or Tammy and I, you know? I don't have to describe her by her race, you know? And I think what he was trying to do was to get a reaction out of me, because he knew that I was a conservative. And if he would throw that little line in there, to him, it's like getting a little dig, waiting for me to go, you know, oh, my God, that's disgusting or something. And I finally instead said to him, look, his name is, I'll say Bill. His name is Bill, okay? You and Bill did this, not your black boyfriend, Bill, okay? If you're doing this to shock me, it's not working.
What did he say?
A lot of these. He stopped. He just like, I just thought, you know. But I think if a lot of these people who are trying to play this little game would understand, we're not shocked by this anymore. Okay, you can be as outrageous as you want to be. Go for it. Be you. You know, be the best you can be. But we're tired of the shock the normie game, and that's what's turning a lot of people off to this little trick of theirs.
You know, I agree with you to some extent, but I would add, because I love disagreeing, it's part of what talk radio is all about. I think that basically they are the racist they accuse us of being.
Everything's about identity.
I think that's
again,
it. So all of this stuff that they spend so much time accusing us of is stuff that they do. Remember when the WikiLeaks came out and all of that, you found out how leftists refer to people they're supposed to be so compassionate towards. It's really projection. It's really, you know, they must think like us because we know we think like that, so we hate them, so they must think like that even worse.
Well, it's that slicing and dicing up of the electorate to get, you know, to appeal to the special interests. And if the special interest on this side actually conflicts with the special interest on that side, well, that's okay. Because, again, who cares? Hypocrisy doesn't matter. What I say today is all that matters.
Yeah. I don't even care if I contradict myself from last Thursday. So in our time left, why don't you give us a little thumbnail sketch about what it is that drives you nuts about the media, which is a way too broad open question, but go for it anyway.
How long is your show?
Well, we got about four minutes.
I want to thank you for having me on. It's you've been promising this for a while, and it's been a lot of fun. I always love our conversations. But
you know what? Before you pontificate, and I want you to tell everybody how they can listen to you if they are in Colorado or elsewhere. How they can find you, connect with you, give us it all.
Sure. They can go on the radio station's website is watr.com, and we have you can stream it from there. You can also find the station on Simply Radio or TuneIn Radio. I'm on from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And I talk a lot about local stuff, so this is kind of fun talking national politics with you. But I tend to focus a lot on what's going on here in Connecticut, because trust me, this place is out of its mind. We are insane. We are California-like,
yeah,
but just barely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fodder here. But,
and may I say, you know, he does a terrific job. So you're going to want to listen and find out. You got family in Connecticut. You want to know what's going on. People do that in Colorado radio as well. Okay, talk to us about media.
I think the thing that drives me the craziest about media is it's shifted in back to this yellow journalism where, you know, they seem not to recognize that there are other sources for people to find out the facts. And so lately we've seen them simply reporting what they're being told or even lying about what is happening, and they don't care. I mean, they'll write the headline and then the body of the story in no way, shape, or form supports the headline, but they know most people read the headline. And
yes,
they leave out a half of the story that undermines the message or the narrative they're trying to create, and they don't care. And I think the more they're being exposed by people like, you know, James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, and a lot of obviously websites and blogs. I hate these word blogs; it's old fashioned. But there's so many other sources out there that can totally destroy their credibility, and yet they don't care. They just keep moving forward. It's like that story last week with that young woman from Newsweek who said that Donald Trump was playing golf on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And then was followed up by the NBC reporter did the same thing. I think if you look for it, his tweet is still up there. They don't care. they got the narrative. They got the message out there. It got retweeted 70,000 times, and they move on.
Yeah, and Trump plays that to his advantage beautifully, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. Are you there?
Yes, I am. He absolutely
does. Okay. Listen, we got to wrap it up. So, boy, this went fast. So much fun to talk to you. Everybody, go to listen to Steve Noxon. Even if he does local issues, he does national issues too. WATR, Waterbury, Connecticut. Always great to talk to you. Any last word?
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. And
yes.
Karen, thank you for having me on, and we look forward to having you back on Talk of the Town real soon.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk
Bye-bye.
To you soon. Bye. And that about wraps it up here on Spouting Off. Thank you to Doug and Dawn, who both got some airtime today, my producers on BBS Radio. And thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish, and who just happens to be my husband. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.